you're listening to the Crazy Over 40s Live podcast, a podcast designed to revolutionize the way we think about our midlife. Yes, let's celebrate this beauty of this transformative period. It's time to embrace our curiosity and unleash our desires and rediscover the power of our adolescence. Yes, we're doing it all over again. I promise you, on every episode, we shall be exploring everything from relationships, emotional well-being, sexual empowerment, to financial stability, just overall wellness. Each episode is packed with empowering insights, actionable advice, and heartfelt stories from real people who have conquered the challenges of the midlife. Expect tears, laughter, and joy. So join me every Thursday, Caroline Brown. And don't forget to share and subscribe so you can keep updated on all the episodes as and when they become available. Available on all platforms. Listen in to the next episode. Valentine's Day to my Crazy Over 40s Life listeners. Whether you're booed up with your partner or whether you just started a relationship and you're a bit anxious because the anxieties are coming through about, are you being authentic? And if you are, will they run away? Sounds anxiety provoking, doesn't it? What about those of you who have yet to find that heart-to-heart connection? And you're tired of attracting the wrong person, and you're wondering whether or not you can sustain a meaningful relationship. Well, you don't have to worry about that today, because we're going to delve into the genuineness, the relatable journey of love. And today we're going to raise your love signal. Chantal Landerville, she's been on before, and it's called Love Has Everything to Do With It. That's her episode before. She's a certified love and relationship coach with over 20 years of personal growth experience. Chantal has poured her heart out and wisdom into this transformative book, Raise Your Love Signal. And she shares simple but very powerful principles, I'm sure, that can help you, you know, cultivate a more deeper connection, not only with yourself, but essentially by doing that, you're going to connect with others in the most genuine, profound way, and cultivate a better sense of self. And that's the only way you're going to find lasting happiness, because what we want to get ourselves in a position to do is to have that self-confidence by being very true to ourselves without compromising or authenticity, and at the same time explore what kind of relationships we truly desire. And this is done by encouraging a more set of healthy boundaries to help us navigate the dating world. Sounds good? Well, she's here after the interview, so get ready to dive into the world of over 40s dating and discover the secrets to attracting the right partner and sustaining a fulfilling relationship. Chantal Landerville shall be here after the interlude. I'm your host, Caroline Brown. Don't go anywhere, but just grab a coffee, a cup of tea, a glass of wine, and we shall see you back very soon. Listeners, as I said to you before, we're going to raise your love signal. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to invite Chantal. Hi, Chantal.
Hi, Carolyn. So nice to be back here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you back. It's going to be Valentine's Day soon. I'm not sure why I'm getting excited, because I don't have a Valentine, but hopefully with the book that you have out at the moment, hopefully we can get my raised love signal going and attract the right one for me, perhaps. So tell my listeners a little bit more about your work and what brought you here today.
Well, thank you. And yes, I do believe you have a Valentine's Day. Valentine's out there for you, Carolyn. We'll talk about that I'll circle back on that. But
thank you. Before I get too old and don't care.
It's never too late in life. I've come to understand that. So yes. I am a love and relationship coach, and my book is releasing on February 14th on Valentine's Day. I thought it was very apropos to release a book about love on the official love day. And it's called Raise Your Love Signal, A Guide to Attracting and Keeping the Love of Your Life. And I think that we are all on a quest and desire to kind of call that into our life. As you know, I remember working on the subtitle of the book, and I was like, I feel it might be a little tacky to like keeping the love of your life. But I think a lot of people can relate to that. And if I take you back to my own personal journey, why I decided to write this book and how I got into this work is I was single for a little over 18 years. Consistently attracting emotionally unavailable men. And I could not figure out, I mean, the kicking, the crying, the doubting, you know, am I not good enough? Am I not pretty enough? The frustration of having to online date, because that started through my period of being single as well. Just like self-doubt and the frustrations of, you know, why am I not able to attract the person for me? So trust me when I say I've been through all the ups and downs of not only, you know, the dating process, but also working through my own, I'm going to say my own shit and my worth, and really discovering what does love actually mean to me and how do I want to grow and evolve in relationship. And when I actually finally did attract my amazing partner now, and we've been together for 5 years, this was quite an aha moment, because through my journey, the one thing that saved me, and I think that was a saving grace through it all, because there always is through our journey, if we choose to see it that way, is I was a massive self-development junkie. I consumed so much of personal development, and I was just literally fascinated by human behavior to try to understand why we are the way we are. So when I did meet my amazing partner, I realized that it's one thing to attract the right person, but it's a whole other thing being able to sustain a long-term, committed, healthy relationship. And I was very grateful that I had learned everything I had to be able to apply it, because you can meet the right person at any given time, but if you don't have the proper toolbox to help you succeed in relationship, then, you know, things can just break. So we've never been taught all of the skills how to be in relationship, and we've never really been taught how to define love, and what is actually love really mean to us, other than these rom-com Disneyfied shows, right? When you really think about our perception about love, we have this very romanticized idea about it. And I've come to realize in my own journey and in my current relationship, that's not enough. That's not the proper love we've been taught to help us succeed in relationship. Hence, the guide that I created and have written is literally the best of everything I've learned over the last 20 years and the hundreds of thousands of dollars that it cost me, Carolyn, let me tell you. All in this easy, yes, it was worth it. But I'm going to save you the 20 years it took me to learn.
Thank goodness for that.
So that's how the book was actually born.
You know, something my listeners need to understand, when you was over 40 when you met your partner, isn't it?
Yeah, I was actually 44 years old. 44 years
Fantastic.
Old.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think what we need to do is throw away some of these ideas that, and it's wonderful. I mean, because it happened to me. I met my husband during my young adulthood, and that was fantastic, but not a lot of people are still with those partners today, and that's why I'm kind of curious about the over 40s a lot more in terms of the dating experience, because a lot of women and men say it's a lot harder than what they thought. And I think there's some things that we unconsciously carry through to our connections. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because one of the things you do mention is being authentic, right? Mm-hmm. It's being authentic in relationship. And you're talking about understanding your own impact of your identity, and how vulnerability is important when you're making a connection. But a lot of us don't know how to do that when we are so guarded. And there's regarded for many reasons, but can I take your take on that a little bit? I know it's covered in the book, but just give us an idea about what you think about that whole experience about being guardies and making a connection and being authentic.
Yes, I love that. This is actually one of my favorite topics. And funny enough, I had to write an article about dating in the different generations and the 2024 dating trends. And as I was doing my research and preparing the article, the one thing I realized, whether you're in your 40s, in your 30s, or your 20s, or your 60s, is that there's one common ground. Well, two, actually. One is that there's never been a desire to experience deep, meaningful human connections. Like, I don't care how old you are, people really, really desire that. However, there's also the disconnect of being afraid, as you just mentioned, being guarded and not wanting to be vulnerable to actually experience deep, meaningful connections. So to answer your question, one of the things that I found, for sure in your 40s, the beauty of dating is that you typically know yourself a lot more. You are really typically... And that's why I say, I hope you do the work, is that you are typically so comfortable into your own skin that, you know, it's really easier to voice what are your needs and what you actually want and to try to be your authentic self. Because this is one of the things to succeed in relationship is to literally be true to who you are instead of pretending to be someone you aren't, which typically a lot of us do to be liked, right? Or to try to court or to make sure that we attract that person that we choose that we like. However, that can come play a game against you in the long-term relationship that you do connect if you pretend being someone. So the thing is, as well, is that when we are dating later in life, we typically do come with some baggage and some bad experiences or great. But I think that it's important to develop so much self-awareness. And this is why I say it's really important to work on yourself, because the more self-awareness you have, there's nothing wrong with having baggage. I think that a lot of the times we hear, especially now with the a lot more of the spirituality and healing journey being accessible, is that there's something wrong with me. And it's not necessarily, I invite people to say, it's not something wrong with me, is that this happened to me and how do I choose to learn, grow, and evolve in these experiences that kind of give me a little bit more clarity on what I actually want, don't want, and what I need or don't need, and how I need to actually up my game or change certain behaviors. So I always say it's more about taking it back to you on how you choose to grow and evolve through these experiences instead of kind of feeling like the victim. Hence why that can change your perception on how you choose to approach vulnerability instead of being guarded going into an experience. The one thing that I will say I've learned is that if you want to experience deep human connections in relationship, you also need to give yourself the time to develop that. And I was in a retreat last week, and we experienced community and celebrating ceremony and really having deep human connections. And when I left the retreat, I realized, I actually did a blurb on this, because people will always ask, and I'm sure your audience, that's why I'm taking the time to say this, how do I invest time when I don't have time or I don't really know someone? And in this retreat, I was with 8 other people that I had no idea, no clue who they are, but we were there and we invested the time. And this was only in 48 hours and we got vulnerable. We opened our hearts and we shared stories that I never thought I would share with a stranger. So what I want to say is that it is possible, but you do need to give yourself and the person that you will be courting, dating, time to open the vault of the baggage, right? Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely. It does make sense. Because how you're describing it is that we all may have some past traumas, or even some uncomfortability or kind of life scripts that we have that was inherited, you know, we had no control over it. And sometimes we just don't know how to start our own life scripts. Where do we begin? And that's what you're describing. And as you describe it, it reminds me of the feeling of we need to kind of lean into what our own values are. And because we're living with other people's values. But what seems to happen is that when you go into relationships where you try to make a connection, because you kind of carrying around or living in other people's values, beliefs and views, all of a sudden you're kind of in a space when you talk about being authentic, is that you're not leaning into the real you. So you don't know where to go with it. Mm-hmm. And you talk about conflict resolutions and conflict skills, and talk about effective communication and emotional resilience, because we're all going to go through a point in our relationship where we need those skills rather than run away. Because one of the things that keep us running, right, is that we don't know how to overcome that hurdle. You know, it's all nice in the beginning, sometimes all fairy tale, but even in the beginning, there are hurdles. And rather than run away, perhaps these things can help us to battle through, and we don't know what can result from some of these things once we know how to journey through effective communication.
Correct. And I think when you talk about effective communication, it's not just applicable with the relationship, it's to you. So when we take it back to being your true authentic self and self-awareness, and the more you know yourself, the clearer you are on why, you know, for understanding why your past relationships didn't work out. What are the behaviors that maybe you brought into relationship that didn't serve the relationship? Because you know what? A relationship is two people. Well, I actually always say three. It's a threesome. It's you, the partner in the relationship. But there's always two people participating into this. And you need to take your own ownership for why the relationship didn't fail. It wasn't just the ex's fault, right? So it's very important. So that's why I say that the more you get clear on kind of cleaning up and rolling up your sleeve to really develop your own self-awareness, understanding why you did show up or not, why things worked out or not, why you failed in certain things or not, the more you will understand and you'll get clearer on your value system, as you said, not pretending to be someone you're not because you've understood from past relationship that that didn't work out for you. And you will be able to really stick to your value system, your boundaries, and because that's one thing, right? When you pretend to be somebody you're not, you can't hold yourself accountable or have enough self-love to respect yourself, how you communicate, what really matters to you in relationship. And setting boundaries is a massive one. So when you understand who you are, you're able to even understand why you react. What are my triggers? You know, maybe this is a trigger that's coming back from a past relationship or trauma that's surfacing. But because I understand what it is, I actually know how to navigate and express to my partner why I'm reacting this way. Instead of sometimes, you know, we'll go through these conflicts and you're just like blaming your partner, but it has nothing to do with your partner. It's all your old stories surfacing. So the clearer you are on what your story is and really knowing what all of your past traumas, behaviors, and beliefs and patterns and stuff, that is the best. It's such a great tool to bring into a new relationship. Because I will often still today, you know, I'll give you an example. I had massive, obviously, vulnerability issues because I was, you know, self-sufficient, independent, type A personality, used to doing everything to myself, with myself. So sometimes today, even though I worked on that and I'm so self-aware about it, sometimes I'll still have moments when I'm going through something that it's really easy for me to retract in my own little corner and want to deal with my own stuff and not talk about it with my partner or even my close circle of friends. But because I have so much self-awareness and because I've worked how I've worked on my stuff, I catch myself saying, Chantal, that's an old story. This is an old you. You've built a circle now where you have a support system, where you do not need to do everything on your own. So my inner chatter doesn't win, right? Those thoughts that come and that sometimes can like just be so nasty to us. It's really easy for me to just say, no, you're actually going to take the time to go and talk through this with your man because he's there to support you. And it's such a, it makes life so much easier being self-aware.
Yeah. I mean, as you're describing it, you know, there are times when we, as you talked about, people in that over 40s, women, we do get to a point where we are, you know, comfortable in our autonomy. And that's healthy, you know, because healthy boundaries require individual autonomy and kind of build it. And it helps you to build trust, right? It helps you to build emotional safety. But also, as you do talk about boundaries, it's very important to kind of shield, not even shield you, but kind of protect you from boundary violations. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of continues if, as you described, you're not aware of situations that you are in that are not healthy. And also, we may not be attracted to the right partner. And you do talk about that a little bit, isn't it? Like the importance of attracting the right partner. Yes. And that's really leaning into what kind of relationship you truly want.
Yes, I love that you brought that up because it's that triangle. It's there's a big difference between what you think you want, what you attract, and what's actually right for you. Hence why I talk about, there's a part in the book that I talk about the eagle eye vision where you see the bigger picture instead of the short picture. When we're looking for love and get caught up in the romance of things, we often, you know, pretend to be somebody you're not. We're not. We often shove stuff under a rug and excusing certain behaviors from the person we're dating because we really want this to work. And we say to ourselves, you know, they'll change or we'll change them. Which is not a good thing. Those are red flags surfacing. So the clearer you get, and when I talk about the eagle eye vision, it's having the bigger picture of how am I going to grow and evolve in this relationship with this person? Because when we're looking for love, we often make it about the partner. We always think about what, you know, I want her or him to be like this. And we don't really think about what do I need to grow and evolve in a relationship with this person? That's why we talked about the value system and being self-aware and really knowing what my boundaries are so you can stay true to who you are. And what this will do, because I'll give myself as an example, I used to attract emotionally unavailable men. So I was, what I think I wanted was a type A man, you know, very rugged, exactly my twin, which at the end of the day never worked out for me. So that's what I think I wanted. What I attracted were emotionally unavailable men. And what was really right for me was a man that was much more grounded, quiet, calm. And, you know, we always say we never finish with what we think we want. Well, I can confirm that is very, very true. So when you able, and again, that's why I take it back to that self-awareness piece, is that when you're able to understand and do that exercise, like, what is it that I think I want? Who do I attract? And what is actually right for me? Then you can open the door to starting to date people you never would think or you would never give the chance to, instead of being so focused on that rectangular box. You know, this is my type. This is my type. And I can tell you by going through it myself, only the year before I met my partner was I thought I had a type all the time and I was doing this kind of work. So that's why I'm being insistent on it. So I remember going to this party and saying, tonight I'm going to talk to anybody and everybody that actually has a great conversation. Because for me, great conversation was important. That was a value that had actually, when I went through my list of something that was really mattered to me. And I ended up meeting three amazing guys that I never would have given the time of day to. And one of them ended up having this great, beautiful adventure with. And he actually gave me the last piece of the puzzle that I needed before meeting Jeff. So being open to not what you think your type is super important.
You know, I've gone back and forth with that. And, you know, I have I have actually been really open. And I said to myself in 2024, I have to be really open to that because I also have a type and I need to kind of be a bit more, not so rigid. Rigid is not the word. I think I just need to be in a position to receive, right? Mm. I need to be in a position to receive. And one of them I decided to do is, look, I love a deep conversation. You know, I like intelligence, but I also like just to be like goofy, you know, mm-hmm. and so that is very important to me. And the only way that can happen, it's not going to happen through a dating app, is it? but I'm just, you know, I'm just pulling it out there. But what I'm saying is that you're absolutely right. But men may think differently. Men may be more attracted to the physical appearance of a woman rather than great conversation.
That's actually a really good, I'm happy you brought that up, but I'm going to respond it this way, is that you don't want that guy that thinks like that one way or the other. He's not for you. Right. So for me, it's just like a natural thing. I remember one of the things I would hear constantly when I was single is that I'm intimidating men because I had a big personality. I was strong. I would, you know, say everything I think. And people would constantly tell me it's because you intimidate men. That's why you don't attract them. But so I started really putting myself smaller. So I was actually not being my authentic self until, you know, I realized like, this is what people, the outside world tells you. I want to attract, once I decided to really own my, who I am and be in my power, I was like, you know what? The right man for me will not, you know, be intimidated by who I am. They will actually embrace it. And sure enough, here I am today in a relationship that my man actually thrives on my big personality. He loves it. He embraces it. So for me, Carolyn, when you say that men might not think that way or physical attraction might be a different, that's not the guy for you one way or the other. So it's just like, that's what I call junk mail. It's like that, the stories that we choose to tell ourselves from outside societal pressures. And I know how that feels because I've been through it. But this is why when you really take the time to evaluate what matters to you, including the core values, you know, like for you, you said somebody that makes me laugh and great conversation, you stick to that. The clearer you are on that eagle eye vision I mentioned, the way you will stand in a crowd will change your vibration of the kind of men you will attract. It just simply will. That's why it's important to really get clear on what it is that you need. Because I think, and I talk about it in the book, but I have a feeling on our last conversation, we might have brushed a little bit on the difference between wants and needs and really getting clear. Okay, perfect. So this is where that exercise is also very valid. It's like, get clear on what are the difference between wants and needs, not only from a partner, but from a relationship perspective. Because the clearer you are on the needs that you have, the less you will compromise yourself when you meet someone and date. And you will also probably be more open to dating kinds of men that you never would have given the time to because of what really matters to you.
And I think this is out for all women out there, is that the pressure a lot of women feel in the over 40s, pressure to look a certain way, because their belief is that men their age prefer younger women. But I say that's not true, mm-hmm. actually. I haven't found that to be true. But what we need to really be comfortable is, as you said, is that when you pull it out there, the kind of man that you desire, then ultimately he will come your way. And as you say, that love is ageless, mm-hmm. In that, you know, you can meet anyone at any point in your life. It's whether you're open to receiving him or her. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about the significance in putting fundamentals in place before entering into a relationship. I think this is a good opportunity for you to talk about what you offer in terms of the support for people who are wanting to raise their love signals? And also about your book, what can people take from your book?
Oh, woo. So much. Because, you know, when you write this book, this is a book I've been writing for the last almost 2 years. And I had to reread it as the editor and the publisher were working on it. So sometimes, you know, you're already on the next project. And sure enough, I was already on the next project. But when I reread the book, I was like, wow, this is so good. There's so many nuggets in there that you can get because one, the first part is all about really getting clear on what you want, that vision of not only the partner and the relationship. And this is super key because most people, when they're looking for love, think they know what they want and they actually don't. It's very, very general. And I would say 99% of the time when I do this exercise with clients, they're like, oh, wow, I didn't see it. And this is one of the key laws to manifesting and attracting what you want in your life is getting so clear about it so you can actually feel it in your heart, not just thinking in it in your head. And you have to be able to receive. This is a key word you've been saying through our conversation is learning to receive. One of the things that I've seen with the woman that I work with, everybody thinks they want love, but they have a guarded heart. We talked about this earlier. They're afraid to open up their heart. I was that person. I was so afraid to open my heart and share my heart and be vulnerable. Hence why I kept attracting emotionally unavailable men. I was my own problem. So you really have to work on your heart space, which I talk about in the book as well. And then the whole piece of getting so into your truth, really, really practicing who your authentic self is and being okay with accepting who you are. Because the more you accept who you are, the stronger you will attract a high quality match for you. Because this is what we want. We want to be loved for who we are and who we are not, not trying to pretend to be someone. That's not who you want to be with. So there's a huge part in that in the book. And this will actually not only help you in romantic relationships, but in every area of your life, in all of your relationships. And then there's the third part of the book, which is your journey to dating, you know, all the tips and tricks to help you as you are going through the dating journey and not get discouraged, and how to be a little bit wiser through your dating journey. And of course, the fundamental pillars to develop before you go into relationships. And here's the thing that I say, when we think that we don't know how to do something, for example, I'll just lean in on the vulnerability piece, because I think a lot of people can relate to this, is that I wasn't a very vulnerable person. So I had to practice and develop that muscle. These things that we're not used to doing, you need to start practicing daily on different areas of your life. Because if you wait to open your heart until you go into romantic relationship, trust me when I say you will struggle. It's going to work against you because it's something you're confronted to, you're not used to doing. So you need to start practicing that muscle before you go into it. Hence the fundamental pillars before you go into relationship. And that is something that you can practice with your friends, with your family, anybody that you actually have a human relationship to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And my feeling on that, my thoughts on that is, with any relationship you have, you need to be consistent. I suppose we don't want to be one way with our partner than we are with our friends, even though sometimes that does happen. But I think we just need to be very clear about our relationship types, whether they are friendships, and sometimes they're family members that you don't want to even have a conversation with, but you take them in small doses. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's the same with relationships with your partner or potential partner you would like to meet. Is that, again, if you feel they're not right for you, don't force it. Mm-hmm. You know, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, unwanted, then they're not right for you. Keep it moving. And that's what you talk about, building emotional resilience. Mm-hmm. We all need it, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. And the work that you do, obviously I've done the Instagram live with you, and I can see those that who follow you really value your coaching and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit about that as well.
Awesome. So I focus a lot more on one-on-one coaching because a lot of the stuff that I teach is not you can't change in 60 minutes, right? These are things that we dive deep to understand the roots of why you show up the way you do or not in relationship. And oftentimes we need to kind of dive into some of the harder pieces like your childhood to understand where you're from. So the only way to understand why you're not attracting love today and the kind of people that you're attracting is to, you have to go back. So these are things that are not doable necessarily in a 60-minute session. And as I said, these are muscles that we need to develop. So once the journey of my 10-week program in my one-on-one is really getting you from A to Z. It's not just the A, B, C, really getting clear on why, what do you want? How we're going to make sure that we keep you on track, not to fall or retract back to old ways. And one of the things that I've seen with clients that I've worked with is, you know, we'll do this work. And now it's like, once they go back into the dating world, because we're changing the mindset and we're trying to call in something new, it's easy to retract to old ways. So it's like, how do we make sure we keep you on track? Because you will self-sabotage. As one of my coaches back in the day told me 5 months after I met my boyfriend, she was like, oh, this is where the real work starts. And I was almost a little upset. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, because you're so not used to receiving something so different. Remember this, you're so not used to receiving something that you've called in, that you've worked for, but it's different. It's not familiar. We love familiarity as humans. So it's like, pay attention. And I'm so happy she planted that seed in my head, because sure enough, 4 months later, I was trying to find every excuse in the book to get out of my relationship, because it was like, whoa, this is too good to be true. But it's what I had worked on, and I wasn't familiar with. So these are the kinds of things that I do. I'm actually going to be kicking off probably next fall a group coaching program, because there is definitely a lot into group sharing. You know, I was at a retreat last week, as I mentioned earlier, and wow, the power in sharing our stories is so incredibly healing to other people that hear it, because we often think we're alone in our world and we're not. So I find that there's a lot of power in group coaching, coming together and going through the journey together. And I also do these corporate events that are a little bit more fun, that are called Let's Wine About Love, Carolyn. So these, because I used to be in the wine business for 20 years, and love and wine are two of my biggest passions. So I create these events that are wine is the excuse, but we do get to drink some wine, but I create these seminars that are educational, and they're kind of like mingling events to elevate our quality in how we can show up in relationship, our conscious relationships. So a little example will be like a sparkling wine will be how to keep the bubble going into your relationship. So I typically give a theme on based on the wine that are selected through the night. And I give a talk on that. So that's a lot of fun. So if people are interested in that, I do them corporately.
Oh, lovely. Well, I would be there, but I'm in the UK, so I can't be there.
I plan on taking this on the road. So I will end up doing something, a Let's Wine About Love in the UK. Trust me. I'll be reaching out to you.
Don't you worry. I will be there. And also that you work globally as well. So I know that you offer stuff online, and so you're open to people from different countries, aren't you?
100%. Everywhere. Okay. I have a client in Abu Dhabi, in Australia. So this is the beauty of social media. And, you know, I think COVID showed us all is that we can work online. We have accessibility, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I love having you on as always. And don't be a stranger here. Share your love handles. What's your social media? How can I get hold of you and the book?
Yes. So social media and my Instagram, which is the platform that I am the most active on. It's my name, chantal.landreville. And then my website, raiseyourlovesignal.com, which you can actually also find all the social media handles, including I have TikTok. I'm slowly launching finally my YouTube channel, but this is very fresh, because I want to do longer content. And the book, if you go to my website, there is an actual pop-up window as soon as you'll click on the website that will give you all the different websites where you can pre-order the book, because it's only releasing officially on February 14th.
Lovely. Valentine's Day. All right. So Shanta shared her details in Landerville, which is Landerville. Right. Thank you so much for coming on. Any parting words for my listeners?
Thank you. Well, yes, do not give up. Love is around the corner. You just need to. I invite you to pick up the book to change your perception of what we have been taught about love, which is very rom-com and Disneyfied, and see it from a different set of eyes. Really think, how do I really want to experience love? And what, these are two great questions. What do I want my experience to with love to be? And what does love actually mean to me? These are two great questions to start transforming how and the quality of your relationships and how you want to be in relationships.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the Crazy 40s Live podcast, and happy Valentine's Day when
happy
it comes
Valentine's,
around.
Happy Valentine's, Carolyn. We'll be in touch. I think I'm going to have to help you find your Valentine's.
Absolutely. I'm ready to go, and I let my listeners know how I fell. No, oh my goodness. Awesome. Chantel, absolutely. And I see you and speak to you soon. Take care.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carolyn.
We should continue with the love theme on the next episode of the Crazy Over 40s Live podcast, because we shall be joined by Jill Williams. She's a chartered psychologist, mental health therapist, and executive coach with over 25 years background experience in psychology. And she offers the best behavioral science with human touch. She specializes in stress and burnt out, and maybe not surprising, seeing as we have experienced a busy under 40s years. So stay tuned for that next week. And many thanks again to Chantal Landerville. She left her details. And you can get hold of all my guests, Instagram, Facebook, Gmail, thecrazyoverwatersLive.com website. And don't forget to share and subscribe so you can keep updated on all the episodes just like this. I'm your host, Caroline Brown.